Support for this podcast comes from the Peabody Essex Museum, presenting Ethiopia at the Crossroads. On view now. Find out more about the exhibition at PEM.org.
We want to end today's show by marking the passing of a lion of the American Civil Rights Movement, Georgia Congressman John Lewis. Lewis died on Friday after a battle with stage 4 pancreatic cancer. He was 80 years old. Lewis's life work was fighting for racial equity in America and the right for all Americans to vote. So much of his role in that fight has been remarkable, including that at 23 years old, he was the youngest speaker at the 1963 March on Washington.
Those who have said be patient and wait, we must say that we cannot be patient. We do not want our freedom gradually, but we want to be free now.
Years later, on Radio Boston in 2013, John Lewis recalled what he observed earlier that day.
And then we started walking down Constitution Avenue. We saw hundreds and thousands of people already marching. Now, we were supposed to be their leaders. It was almost like saying, there go my people, let me catch up with them.
So here to reflect on this incredible legacy with us is Michael Curry of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers. Michael is also former president of the Boston chapter of the NAACP, a member of the National NAACP Board of Directors, and a friend of the show. Welcome back, Michael.
Thanks for having me.
So, Michael, it is particularly killing me that I'm listening to you over headphones instead of like sitting with you with a glass of iced tea where we can relax and really... you know, have the conversation that this moment deserves. How are you thinking today about the loss of Congressman Lewis? And by the way, another civil rights leader, Reverend C.T. Vivian, who also passed away last Friday.
You know, I think this moment reminds me that for any of us who had a chance to study these civil rights giants in school, whether it was when you were young or in college, we feel like we've known them for a long time. And I tell people I met him way before I actually met him. And I'm just, I think the saddened part of, aside from losing him, and I think he was so courageous in those final few months of his life, I'm saddened by the fact that people just got to know him. Like they're just learning about his activism, his decades of service. And I think that's what saddens me most, but I think I'm also encouraged by the fact this is going to drive people to learn about the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee or the Freedom Rides. And I'm looking forward to that rich conversation born out of his activism.
Why are people just getting to know him now, Michael?
Yeah, you know, there's so much untapped history, right, in this country. And we don't know about the sacrifices of others. And we get the short two or three sentence lines in our history books. Whatever people might know of the March on Washington, they don't know the backline to the March on Washington, the politics behind it, the challenges of Senator Kennedy, and then later with Lyndon Johnson. They don't know what led up to the Civil Rights Act. So there's a lot that people don't know that will even make you appreciate him more as you know, truth catches up to history and as people sort of dig in and learn about his work and his upbringing. I think there's so much in his story I share with people that, you know, he born in 1940. He was a little kid. He was 15, 16 with the Montgomery bus boycott. So he was in Alabama as a child of Alabama when Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat. He was inspired by that movement and it gave birth to his activism that he would then take to Fisk University and then take the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. So we need to know what drove him as we're starting to see young activists live out his legacy. Walking in the streets, taking risks, being disruptive in a way that'll make this a better country.
And, you know, my understanding is one of the things that really struck you was the youth of his activism. You know, 23 years old, speaking at the March on Washington, only 2 years older when he was in Selma, being beaten by police. What was your reaction to the youth of his activism? And how do you think about it now?
Yes, just inspirational. You know, I was a student at McAllister College in St. Paul when my history professor introduced us to John Lewis and Julian Bond and Stokely Carmichael, later named Kwame Ture. And you almost, based on the introduction to these giants, you felt like you knew them. You knew their passions, you knew their politics. And he was one that really stuck with me because he was willing to take the risk. When he got on those buses and freedom rides, he knew that it could cost him his life. He knew that speaking up to injustice at that time could cause you to lose your life. I mean, there's no greater sacrifice. So though we have difficult conversations today, though we may lose our jobs if we challenge injustice, that's not the same as the risk he had when he got on those buses in the 1960s. That's not the same as when he marched across that bridge in Selma. And he has the scars to show for us. So I think whenever we're feeling weary, overwhelmed, challenged, whenever we're feeling like there's a resistance to progress, we got to remember what he felt. And he left us with that message of we need to get in good trouble. And I think we need to adopt what good trouble is today.
Let's stay with that for a minute. I want to play some sound because we've heard a lot in the last couple of days about his humility and his selflessness, but his fearlessness is humbling to me. So we've been watching some videos of him walking resolute, leading this protest across the Edmund Pettus Bridge on Bloody Sunday in Selma, 65, March of that year. He was beaten by the state troopers so badly that day that he fractured his skull. Here he is reflecting on that day to CNN.
I thought over and over again, they're going to arrest us. They came toward us, beating us with nightsticks, tramping us with horses. I went down on my knees. My legs went out from under me. I thought I was going to die.
He was actually treated and tested for brain injuries at Mass General Hospital in 1965 after that incident. That is what he has termed good trouble. That is scary trouble. Where do people dig deep to find the will to stir up that kind of good trouble? And in this moment, what do people who say no trouble is good trouble?
Yeah, I think we have to remember the history, right? So when you think about the evolution of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, that group of student activists from across the country, and John Lewis was in those founding members that got together at a college in North Carolina and decided to organize. They were already desegregating lunch counters. We got to remember that came out of a passion to resist injustice. That is the John Lewis that was a young boy in his 20s challenging segregation. We have to remember that when he was participating in the March on Washington, he didn't agree with everything that Dr. King and the other architects, the Big Six, and that movement to organize the March on Washington. But he humbled himself in his negotiations with the other leaders like Dr. King, who were elders to him, and really compromised, and they gained respect for him. So there's a lesson in this for all of us. There's a lesson of resistance. There's a lesson of disruption. There's a lesson of compromise. And there's a lesson of persistence. How do you stay true to the mission? And he did throughout his lifetime. So I think there's so much rich lessons in his life for us. Now is time for us to go back and unpack his life and figure out how we can apply it today.
We've got about a minute left, Michael. Congressman John Lewis reflected on where our future leaders will emerge on Radio Boston in 2015. Here he is.
Leaders are not necessarily ordained, appointed. They grew out of a movement. They grew out of the struggle.
Michael, in our last minute or so, he's gone now. Who are the standard bearers that we look to now? Who's going to carry on this fight?
So there's so many. I remember having the congressman, when he was in town, meet with some of my young leaders in the NAACP Boston branch. About 30 young men and women sat with him over at the JFK Library, along with some other young people, and he shared his life lessons. I have no doubt you'll see those young people take that lesson, those lessons that he shared that day, and they'll show themselves on college campuses, in corporate offices, on the streets, and I'm sure they're on the streets right now. One of his proteges, and I should say one of his staffers, Michael Collins, who worked as his chief of staff, is a Bostonian. In all these years, if you ever see a picture of Congressman Lewis, you'll see Michael Collins standing right next to him. We got to hold Michael Collins because that's like family to him that he lost. He has a legacy of young people he's given birth to across the country in their activism, and they'll do great things.
Michael Curry of the Massachusetts League of Community Health Centers and a member of the National NAACP Board of Directors, sorry for the loss and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.